Hey, Steve, how you doing? Good morning. Hello, Sean.
Morning, Pierre. You on the slopes?
No, but it looks like they might be able to open up.
Yeah.
Start to get some snow here, which is good.
Oh, man. Well, I think you know where we're going to begin here again with the World Junior Selection Camp. So two players test positive. They're quarantining in the hotel. And then you couple that with the more restrictions coming in province-wide in Alberta. What are your thoughts now on the World Junior Hockey Championships? It's a race to the bubble, isn't it, for December 14th? Can everybody get there?
Well, you just said it so well. It's a race to get to the bubble. Because once you get in the bubble, I've been through it for 9 weeks out there. It works. The bubble works. You got to get there. My son's roommate is probably going to be a member of Team Switzerland. He's leaving Penticton, British Columbia, December 2nd to go to their training camp over in Switzerland. And they're going to actually, that team is going to meet in Helsinki. So the Russians, the Finns, and the Swiss are all going to meet in Helsinki. And then they're coming over on one charter as a group, three teams on one charter from Helsinki to get to Edmonton, and they go right into the bubble. So their bubble actually starts when they get on that plane. In Helsinki. So it just shows you how diverse this whole thing is. But the key is what Steve Lloyd just talked about, is it's a race to get to the bubble. The bubble will work, but it's before they get to the bubble, that's where the conundrum comes in.
I'm having a visual of the flight plan, Pierre, and if people don't know that, Helsinki flight goes right over the North Pole and into Edmonton, right? Not the one across the Atlantic. Very different from a Canadian perspective, and I thought Craig made a great point. I kind of looked in the camp and said it's a long ways, and we talked about, hey, they've been off for a while. You have to, as he said, have this much track so you can actually get in there, in this case, adapt and move on and have time for the tournament, right?
Well, that's a big part of it. Now, this is the luxury that they've had that they've really never had before outside of the 05 lockout, and even then they didn't have as kind of a luxury just because the major junior operators were playing. So this is a different kind of situation for everybody involved. The one thing that I'm getting from people that are at the camp and evaluating is that the Canadian depth at center is overwhelming, and so very good players that more times than not would make World Junior teams if there was NHL hockey going on, because a lot of these guys would be playing in the NHL. A lot of the better center icemen may have to transition to the wing in order to make the team. I know that's something that's become pretty apparent there. I don't know what the reports are that you guys are getting from Craig or from Ryan Rashog, but I can just tell you from the people that I've been talking to, that's one of the things. The other thing is there's some very good wingers who may get bounced out of this tournament from Team Canada because the overwhelming depth that Canada has at center and the talent that they have.
Yeah, to the tournament itself, and Simmer and I discussed this a little bit earlier, Pierre, so we're about a month away from it starting, bubble opening up, teams getting there on December the 14th. With the restrictions coming in, Hockey Canada can get an exemption from the government. So I guess my question is, and I went and did some digging on this last night, I was just curious, and to my knowledge, we haven't had an official, sign-off from the federal government that 100% this can be allowed to happen. Is that really still hanging out there, or Hockey Canada and parties involved, are they just, they have to be business as usual, but is that still a real threat to this tournament, whether or not it's going to be allowed?
I wish I could give you an answer. I don't know. I can't think it would be a problem, and the only reason I'll say that is the way the Canadian government dealt with the National Hockey League in two bubbles, one in Toronto and one in Edmonton, and the way both situations were handled, not just by the federal government, by the provincial government, it's obviously the government of Ontario, the city government of Toronto, and the same thing that the government of Edmonton, the city government of Edmonton, the provincial government of Alberta and the city government of Edmonton. It was phenomenal. I can just tell you from having experienced it, was overwhelmingly good. The healthcare professionals really knew what they were doing. They'll know exactly what they have to do in Edmonton again. We're not talking about two bubbles now, we're talking about one. It wouldn't involve three hotels. It would only involve two. So it would be, I think, more manageable. I don't think the government has a problem with that. I don't think the citizens of Edmonton have a problem with it because of where it's located. It doesn't really hurt their downtown viability in terms of traffic flow or pedestrian flow. So I can't see it being an issue from that point of view, Steve. I really can't.
Asking teenagers to eat, sleep, play hockey, and play video games, Pierre, this is actually a dream scenario for most of them. How much pressure? Well, no, it really is. Like, hey, this is basically the way I've been living. This is perfect. Nobody interrupt me and maybe a little room service to boot. How much pressure is on Quinton Byfield?
Huge. I was just talking about center ice position, and obviously he's a natural center iceman. He might be one of those players that may be asked to move to the wing. But there's significant pressure on Quinton Byfield. There's no question about it. We talked about that before the draft. We talked about it after Los Angeles selected him, and we're going to keep talking about it. The one thing that's really important, again, patience. With bigger players, not always, but sometimes, and more times than not, it takes a little bit longer. One of the reasons why everybody was high-fiving that he was drafted by L.A. is because they had Jeff Carter and Anze Kopitar there, two guys that could really help teach him the position internally at the NHL level. So at the World Junior Camp, is there a lot of pressure on him? Yeah, 100%. You know what this reminds me of? A lot of Corey Perry. Two different players, two different positions. But I will tell you right now, at the 05 World Junior Camp in Winnipeg, Gord Miller and I were sitting there, and Wayne Gretzky called Gord's number. And he said, how's Corey Perry doing? And Gord said, just so-so. He says, go get him. Get him on the phone. I want to talk to him. I'm not kidding you. This happened. So Gord went down and got Corey Perry, brought him out of the hallway to talk to Wayne Gretzky. Hockey Canada had no problem with that. And Gretz basically said to him, your identity as a player is not to check and not to do this and not to do that. Your identity as a player is to score. I'm basically paraphrasing what Wayne said. And from that point on, Corey Perry surged. It was unbelievable. He was life and death to make that team, and from that point on, he surged. And he ended up playing on the line with Sidney Crosby and Patrice Bergeron, and they dominated the tournament. They dominated. And I'm just telling you, little things like that can matter. So for Quinton Byfield, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him, but he's going to need that little extra, whatever it is, to get over the hump because he's good enough to do it.
Yeah, and certainly I don't look at, hey, you know, you don't make the World Junior team. As you said, a bigger guy could be longer, Pierre. The whispers, and I talk to people in the OHL, the whispers on him is his compete level, which is obviously completely different than Corey Perry. That part of it, if that becomes the issue in the tournament, that's something that he's going to have to fight and battle should he even get cut or play lesser role of starting to question some of that, right?
That's more than fair. And then it becomes a question. He already made the team. Remember Dan Cleary. Dan Cleary got cut, and he got cut more than once, and he went on to have a good career, but it took time. As you remember, Sean, it took a lot of time for Danny to get on and eventually play well in the NHL and be a Stanley Cup winner. It happens, but again, I would agree with you. The one thing you can control when you go to these events is your work. How hard do you want to work? And if you work really hard, more chance than not, if you have the talent, you will be part of it. I'll go back again just because of all my experience at the tournament. I'll never forget with Team Canada, the O3 World Junior in Halifax. Eric Staal was a really good player going to that camp. He was a phenomenal player. Gregory Campbell beat him out. Gregory Campbell beat Eric Staal out. And the reason he beat him out is because his everyday work habits were impeccable. Shot blocking, winning races, giving hits, taking hits, winning face, all these little things that they're looking for, he did them all. Where it didn't mean Staal didn't, he just didn't do them as well. And he wasn't scoring as much, and that's why he didn't make that team, and Gregory Campbell did.
It is American Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I saw a really nice story yesterday. He's a future Hall of Famer, and we know he's a Hall of Fame guy. Zdeno Chara was going around Boston and delivering some dinners, as he's done the last number of years. So his name came up again, Pierre, and you know Donnie Sweeney was asked, and he chimed in, says the status quo, waiting to reconnect with Matt Keeter. That's Zdeno Chara's agent. They're going to evaluate. He's 43. Is it Boston or bust, do you think, for Big Z? Or is there a chance he could, if he plays again, he plays elsewhere?
I talked to Matt last week. Matt was in Florida last week with Ron Hainsey, another one of his clients. So I talked to Matt probably once a week or twice a week. And, that's where he was. He said Z's in a holding pattern right now. Wait and see. That's exactly what he said to me. I still think his priority is to go back to Boston. I still think there's a need for him in Boston. You know, again, I don't know what the budget is that Donnie Sweeney has to work with. I just don't. And again, I'm trying to be as fair as I can to everybody involved here. I think Donnie's done some really good work there. Yeah, there have been some questions about the draft, but Sean could tell you the general manager gets all the credit for the good draft.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets all the blame for the bad draft, whereas the general manager really doesn't have his fingerprints on the draft as much as most people would think. That's where you got to look at delegation to your amateur scouts. And so there have been some mistakes made at the amateur level. But at the pro level, there haven't been a lot of mistakes made by the Bruins. And I would just tell you that If Donnie has the right budget, I'd be surprised if Zdeno Chara goes anywhere.
Yeah, I always found that funny. Glenn Sather hadn't seen a junior game in 30 years, and in Edmonton he's terrible, in New York he's good. Somebody else is doing the job. In the case of Chara...
Gordy Clark.
exactly. And they've actually got a real nice staff now. For Chara, I mean, if it's not Boston, is he just kind of looking around and thinking, where's my opportunity to go and win a cup?
I think there is, but I would say this in defense of Big Z, and I spoke to Zdeno via Matt a lot over the, I would say, last spring during the pause, just because I was working on another thing and I needed some input from Zdeno. The one thing I'd say is he really cares about that group in Boston. I mean, yes, he played for the Islanders, and yes, he played for Ottawa, and he's probably really proud of both of those stops just because he helped, you know, grow as a player himself, but also help those franchises, especially Ottawa. The one thing I'd say about him is he's tight with those guys. He's tight with Bergeron. He's really tight with all those guys. He developed a fondness for Charlie McAvoy. I mean, he really wants to tutor Brandon Carlo. So it's hard for me to envision him leaving just because of the relationships he's built up with those players, Sean, but also what Steve correctly said before, the relationship he has with the city of Boston. He is extremely popular there.
Could you ever see him transition into coaching and just from the bench itself actually be the eye in the sky?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a joke with his height.
I know. Listen, he loves mentoring those guys.
I would think as a development coach, because I don't know his background, but again, his work ethic and everything, Pierre, wouldn't you just say, hey, I don't want you to even talk to the kids. Just go in the gym. Just go in the gym with them. I remember Jim Schoenfeld hop in one year. We were having we had a circuit set up, guys, the old Nautilus equipment, and it was hilarious because here Shoney rolls in at whatever, late 40s, early 50s. He starts throwing around the machines going through. I think everybody else in that room ended up throwing up, and it just was for the kids who were like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be a professional hockey player. There would be a lot that he could lend to any organization, right?
Yes, and I'll take back your point up. Last spring, the last game I did before the pause was Boston at Philadelphia, and I always get to the rink really early. And around 1:30, quarter to 2 in the afternoon for a 7:30 start, I was in the rink, and I was talking to the equipment guys from the Boston Bruins. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise coming out of the dressing room. That's weird. There can't be anybody here. I wonder what that is. So I just put my head in the door. There was Big Zdeno getting ready for the game.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. He was the only guy there. So I knocked on the door. I said, hey, you have time to chat? He goes, absolutely, Pierre. So I go in there, and we talked. We talked about a lot of different things. And we talked about Marin Gaborik and Marion Hossa, guys that were from his neck of the woods. They all played for Duke Latrench, and they all grew up together in Slovakia. So we were talking about that and different things. And we talked about the late Pavel Dimitra. But I said to him, why are you here so early today, Z? Because usually you're not here this early. He goes, I wasn't feeling right. I wanted to get more of a vibe for the game. Now, this is a guy that's played for how many years?
Yeah, incredible.
And, you know, it's kind of a game in the middle of, March, and, you know, getting ready for the playoffs. But he was there that early. That just speaks to what John was talking about, Steve, about how he could help young players learn how to be pros.
Well, we saw that right away when he came to Ottawa after the trade. I remember at the time they had to create they called it the Franken bike, because there was not a bike with enough tension that could handle, because he wanted to ride it so much. And it was just ridiculous. The work ethic, like, what an athlete. And I hope he still plays, you know.
See
a guy like that. I want to see it going. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to have his minutes managed properly. You know, you can't put him in positions where he's overextended just because of the time on ice that he's put forth throughout his career. Another guy that I can tell you has the fondest admiration as a Hall of Famer for him, and that is Mark Recchi. And I talk to Mark a lot, and you know, he just continually raves. They were part of that 11 Stanley Cup winning team, obviously, that won a Game 7 in Vancouver. He just raves about Zdeno and the way he helps influence all the guys and the way he can help influence a game.
And as far as changing culture, with the wrecking ball now being in New Jersey, if it's not Boston, I'm sure teams like that and the stage they're at would probably circle back to Char, would they not?
They probably would. But I look at it, Sean, and the relationship that he has with those teammates that he's been with for a while, and also you know, the relationship he has in the city of Boston with a lot of people. And, you know, Steve correctly pointed out what he does around holiday time. He's a really special human being. You know, he's big and he's nasty and he's gnarly, but away from the rink, he's none of those. He's a really good social citizen. I mean, he does so much for an organization called Right to Play that's run by Olaf Koss. It's just amazing what Big Z does. He really, really is a special person.
All right, this next question, it gets asked every once in a while, so this is every once in a while. I'll phrase it this way, this time here. Do we have to have the plan before we start to see movement again on that UFA market, since we're talking Chara? You could talk about Hoffman. You could talk about Duclair. You could talk about Vatanen and many others. Is that what we're waiting for, the plan to be put in place, and then we'll see these players find a home?
For some of them, I don't know about for all of them. Part of it, too, I think, is that some of them have to change their demands. Some of them have, from what I understand, some pretty, you know, hard demands that some of the teams aren't prepared to go to. So, this is really a shifting kind of a target from day to day. But I would say that it's fine to set up situations, but until there's a formal schedule on the calendar, I don't know how anybody can be doing anything right now, especially with so many of the teams laying people off. I don't know how they're going to be signing anybody when they're laying so many people off.
In the shortened season, Pierre, in the past, I can't remember, but do you expect to see the same amount of activity to trade deadline, or because so many teams could be in it, that we could see less activity?
There could be less. It's a great question. That's one of the things you think about as a management person going into a season like this, is what happens at the trade deadline. If your team is a little bit broken, do you have the opportunity to fix it quickly in season? And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. So that's going to be something that really needs to be evaluated. Depends on how many teams get off to great starts. The other thing you need to think about this year, expansion draft coming up with Seattle, and make sure that you have enough ammunition so that you don't end up losing somebody that's really critical to your team just because you got crazy at the trade deadline. You got to pay attention to that as well.
All right, we'll leave it there for this morning, and we'll see what the day brings, specifically from that World Junior Selection Camp, Pierre, and we'll reconnect tomorrow morning. Thanks a lot.
Bring snow.
It's snowing here.
Well,
it's coming down.
That's good. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. Bye-bye.